Welcome back to Martins and More. My name's Mari Rutsch.
And I'm Spoon Phillips.
And this episode's not discontinued, but some things are, and that's why we're here today. Spoon, would you be nice enough to tell our friends what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Martins and More?
Well, we're going to talk about my list of the top 10 Martins that were discontinued, but they should bring back. And I will say, this is not necessarily, I'm not ranking them. I'm not a big fan of those ranked ones where people have to argue about what should be number one. But I'm saving some of my favorites for the end of the list.
All right. So we're not going 1 to 10, but we are certainly not going 1 at the front. We're going to make sure before the episode's over, you need to know, don't leave early, because you're going to wait till the end to hear some really good stuff. I know what I think they should bring back, but let's not get into that too soon. Before we go any further, I have to tell you that today's episode is brought to you by our Patreon members. Join our growing community and enjoy early access to every episode, video versions, behind-the-scenes footage, full-length product demos, and so much more. We appreciate you.
Absolutely.
So, Spoon, if we're not going to go in order, just randomly, do you have a dartboard you could use, or do you know what you want to start talking about?
No, I have them laid out in an order, but they're not like, it's not like the first one is the worst one and the last one's the best one, though maybe the last one is the best one. And I'd be very curious for people who are listening to this on the YouTube version of this and can comment of Martins that you wish they would bring back or feel they should have kept in the lineup. And I have to say, here's a caveat. There's times when I roll my eyes when people on the neighborhood, when people on the internet say things like, "Why'd they get rid of that?" And then you say, "Well, did you buy one?" You know, and they're like, "Well, no, but they should have gotten rid of it." And that's, you know, I'm kind of coming from there. I do not own any of the guitars on here. Had I the budget available, I might very well have had some of these on here, in addition to the guitars that I use for my main guitars. So the first one on my list is, you can read my review of it on onemans.com. This is a guitar that I got to see behind the scenes for a while before it came out. And it was was, because it's no longer in production, the Super D. So I'm really curious to see, if any of our listeners own a Super D or got to play one, what they thought of them. If you're not familiar with it, it's a Super Dreadnought. This is a supersized Dreadnought that was available in Indian Rosewood and in Koa. And as you might imagine, they were voluminous, both in size and in sound. And I thought they were a very successful instrument for people who wanted to turn things up to 11, as they said on Spinal Tap. did you guys ever, this was a custom shop model, so it wasn't something that was available through all the dealers. So you never actually had them for sale. I'm always curious how well they did, how well they sold. I know on the unofficial Martin Guitar Forum, there's actually a thread, as they often do with various models, for Super D owners. So we definitely have some satisfied Super D owners out there. But I was surprised that this didn't stick around. I don't know if they intended it to stick around or not. But I would have thought if they had kept it in the added to the standard series and that size, that they would have done well.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised they didn't expand it into different series, because when you take something like that, or really anything that's brand new, it's not long ago that we did an episode on the GPC Inception Maple, and whenever they bring something brand new to the table, I mean, it's hard to say what the market's going to want, and it really is hard for me to, even as a dealer, to know what Martin is going to use as far as the reference for judgment. How long will this actually have to be out there and marketed correctly, and then wait to see how many dealers adopt it, wait to see how many of those dealers' customers actually buy them and keep them before they agree to keep making them as is, and do they actually bring it into a different series. I didn't have anybody tell me this at Martin, but I wanted to ask you. I'm a little bit surprised we didn't hear anybody talking about the possibility of a road series that size, too. And I'm not saying, I mean, look who I'm talking to. You probably know a lot that you can't even tell me on this podcast, let alone the public. I'm a little bit sad to hear that it went away or that's going away, but I kind of think maybe the exact guitar that it is going away, but that idea can come back at a different price point. Have you heard anything, or are you just allowed to say, don't talk about this part of the show because you can't give it away?
You know Morse code?
No. Oh, were you blinking the whole time?
Honestly, in this case, I do not know if, but you're right. They will often do that sort of thing. But the Super D, fun guitar, huge guitar, so it's not for the small of hands and faint of heart, but certainly a super guitar. So, and if I had to choose between the two, I'm not sure which one I'd choose between, because I thought they were both exceptionally good sounding guitars. So the second one is a guitar that I was surprised, just as you said, I'm surprised this idea did not expand out all over the place inside the Martin lineup. And that was the D18SS short scale. And I thought this was a wonderful guitar. I know, and they made less than 150 of them. And this was basically the D18V from the Vintage series, but in it with a short scale neck. And a lot of people know the Gibson Jumbo models are short scale, and there's other people out there that have large body guitars that have short scale. Martin's never really done that. And this, it was a very good guitar, but at the same time, I think one of the things that held it back is that it had the modified V-neck, and the 1 11/16 modified V-neck was pretty pointy back in those days, and I think that might have turned a lot of people off. It is absolutely the reason that I didn't buy it. By that time, my thumb socket was really, and my fretting hand was really starting to bother me, and I was moving away from the V-necks. I think if that had the regular low-profile neck of that era, I probably would have bought one. And But forward shifted scallop bracing, so it had the whole Vintage series vibe that was moved over to the Standard series when they reimagined the Standard series and got rid of the Vintage series. So I guess it was ahead of its time. I think it had it come out after they had gotten rid of the Vintage series and moved the Vintage series D18 to the Standard series and gave it a modern neck and modern string spacing and all that and a modern neck profile. If they'd done a short scale version of it, I bet it would have been more successful. Just my feelings on it.
Off on a little bit of a tangent from that, are you surprised, and this might be a question that's just too long of an answer, you could skip to the next episode. Are you surprised Martin doesn't offer a feature where you can buy many guitars in a series, long scale or short scale?
Sort of. I always thought they should have done this. You remember from when the time in your shop first opened up where you could do things like get a 1 3/4 inch neck, but still have a D28 stamp on it. And it was kind of iffy about what you could and could not do and still retain the stamp. I think they should have been able to do that. I really think they should have kept the special idea that they had in the 30s and 40s and 50s where you could have a D28, but get something changed about it instead of having to say custom. Actually be able to say either D28 custom or D28 special. And still, you know, I can understand why they'll limit it. You can't have a, you know, a D28 made out of, you know, raccoon hide and call it a D28. But a D28 that had a different...
D28R.
But a D28 that had a different nut width or different string spacing or short scale, long scale, I think, you know, and maybe that's that's an idea that's finally coming along, because now when you buy a D28, you can buy a D28 with the traditional high gloss nitrocellulose lacquer, or you can buy a D28 with the non-nitro, I don't remember what they call it, crystal lacquer, whatever they call the satin, what they use to make the satin finish, and it just says D28. And so that they finally have come around to that, but that's different than customer orders saying, I'd like a D28, but short scale, can you do that? And not have to give up the D28 moniker, I think that would be a very good idea, frankly. You know, still limit the amount of options, but I think short scale, long scale would be one they could do.
Well, maybe I predict by the time Thomas Ripsom the IV is running the company, you'll be able to do things like that at Martin Guitar.
Perhaps so. Perhaps so. I do know, you know, in the 90s, they were all excited about the computer, like tablet thingy that the rep could go in and punch in orders and stuff. And we were all imagining this amazing, customizable world of Martin that has never really taken shape. But maybe it will one of these days. So Super Dreadnought, big guitar, D18 short scale Dreadnought, did not have the same power and volume that you get from a long scale D28, but it was worth it in terms of the comfort and playability, and it had its own sound that a lot of people liked. Okay, so third on my list of Martins that were discontinued that they should bring back is the GPC-28E. It was a big deal, big fanfare, when they brought the GPCs into the standard series. And they had the GPC-35, they had with the quarter-inch bracing, they had the GPC-28H, however they called it, the one that had scallop bracing, and they had the GPC-28, this one that had non-scallop bracing. And did they do a GPC-18? I don't remember now. For a short time. And I don't think they gave him enough time. I think they didn't give him enough time to really catch on. But I was surprised because I played all of them, you know, the day they came out at the factory in the sound room. And I thought the GPC-28E, the one with non-scallop bracing, to me sounded the best. It was had a very, very good clarity and focus to the notes that I think that big sort of bulbous body really needed. And I thought it would made a very good recording guitar. Another guitar that I thought about, if I could just buy it to have it because I liked it, I would have bought a GPC-28E to have a GPC in my arsenal. But they didn't stick around very long. I'm sure they're out there for sale in the used market, or maybe not, because people who bought them may like them enough that they don't want to sell them. But what were your thoughts on the Standard Series GPs?
I really thought they were going to do a lot better for a longer time. I thought they would have staying power, mostly because when you go to the Standard Series, you really couldn't get cutaways. And I know they did some OMCs for a while, but if you look at your choices, and if you make your mind up that you definitely know you want to buy a Standard Series Martin, and you want to have electronics and or a cutaway, it wasn't like they were competing with anything much. You could certainly make the argument maybe a lot of those customers were happy in the Rhodes series or the 16 series, but the other side of that coin, I think they came out to the market because a lot of people loved their 16 series Martins but wanted standard series construction. They wanted that dovetail neck joint, and they wanted it to be a quote-unquote real Martin. We're not looking for flames when I say that, but I think some players, when they graduate from a certain level of Martin to another one, and they might all admit they're going to aspire to owning a Standard Series Martin, but they don't want to get along without a cutaway. They need to plug it in. Granted, a lot of customers, you know enough that they can get their favorite guitar and add electronics later, but you can't add factory-installed electronics, you know, from Martin the same way. And I mean, that's a convoluted answer, too. But I kind of thought, when those things came on the scene, what else are you going to get? If you tell yourself, I have to have full dovetail, has to be Nazareth made, and I need it to be a cutaway, and I have the whole, I'm aspiring to be in the Standard Series, I'm surprised more people didn't want them longer.
Yeah, I agree. I know with the GPCs came out as, you know, direct competition against Taylor. Martin has spent decades seeing all these other car makers copying their body sizes and copying their, you know, the Gibson, the Dove and the Hummingbird and all that are just basically their version of a Gibson Dreadnought. I mean, of a Martin Dreadnought, even though they don't sound anything like a Martin Dreadnought. And so Martin, and that size, the Taylor size 14, they didn't invent it, but they were the ones that popularized that kind of small jumbo shape. Martin clearly saw younger people in the 21st century thinking of that look as an acoustic guitar. So they came out with the Forming Artist series. They sold well enough that they started putting them in other series. Then they put them in the standard series. And maybe enough traditional Martin people who want traditional Martins kept seeing them as not Martin, because there was a truly, you know, a new body shape for Martin. And I don't know why. I don't know why they got rid of them so quickly. But obviously, you know, they don't keep what doesn't sell, with very rare exceptions. There are certain models that yeah. Chris Martin insists on keeping in the lineup for legacy reasons, the M36 being one. He always wants to have an M available. And for many years, they kept the 0021, which was a 12-fret guitar. And they kept that in the lineup and kept bringing it back because they wanted to have a 12-fret 00 in the line. This is back before the modern series, and all they made were the traditional Martins with dovetails. But he, you know, and he insisted on doing that. So, and they, OM-21, the OM-42, you know, they always insist on keeping those in the lineup, even through the years when there was no OM-28. So I'm surprised there is not a GPC in the standard series. But there isn't, and there's another guitar that's never been in the standard series either, that I can't believe has never been in the standard series. They listed it in the standard series for a while, but it wasn't truly a standard series instrument at the time, and that's the 00042.
That wasn't the vintage for a while, wasn't it?
Yes, well, it wasn't in the vintage series because it wasn't a true vintage guitar. There wasn't a 00042 back then that looked anything like that guitar. That guitar, the 00042, looks like a 00045 from the 1930s, but it doesn't have the 45 pearl on the sides and the back and where the neck connects to the body. And what it really was the Eric Clapton model in the styling of the OM-42. And the OM-42 was in the standard series, but the 00042 had the modified V-neck of the Eric Clapton model. And, I mean, they are literally absolutely identical, except that you had higher grade woods on the 42, and you got the style, modern style 42 pearl on the front, which, as I always remind people, is really vintage style 45 pearl on the front. Great guitars. I think, again, if they had made that guitar with the standard series neck shape, they would have sold a lot more of them. And I like short scale guitars. I'm surprised they didn't at least try a modern reimagined standard series 00042 to see if they sell. But they have never done it. And I think they should. So basically you're talking about a 00028, very popular guitar, but with the fancy pearl of modern style 42. They look great. Like you said, people graduating to a standard series, aspiring to and graduating to a standard series, well, there's a lot of people who aspire to and graduate to a pearly Martin, style 42 Martin, style 45 Martin, style 41 Martin. And they did a 00041 special for a while, but those were not, you know, those were special editions. Those were not, you know, real standard series instruments. And I'm just surprised, you know, you want to graduate up to a Pearly Martin in the standard series, but you want a short scale Martin, well, you're out of luck. And I don't think that's, I think that's unfair for those of us who like short scale guitars. So the 00042, if you can find them out there, they're really great guitars. The greatest of all was the 00042 Marquis, a really unusual guitar. That was made with Adirondack and had the 1930s barrel shaped to the heel, which affects the whole barrel of the neck. And I absolutely loved them. But they came out at a time when, I beg your pardon, they did not have They did not have an Adirondack spruce top. Wait a second. Now I'm getting confused.
Sure they did.
Yes, they
Marquee.
Did. Marquee. Yeah, they were in the Marquee. But now what am I thinking? Because they were going to come out with another version of it, and because of the economy crashing or whatever, they only came out with them in Japan as an Eric Clapton model, even though it wasn't an Eric, had nothing to do with Eric Clapton whatsoever. But I can't
remember. That's ringing a bell now.
Yes, yes. But anyway, yes, I thought they were exceptional guitars. And as V-necks go, it had my favorite V-neck. But again, they would sell, I think, many more short scale triple of 42s if they had the modern neck on them and put them in the standard series.
Why don't we pause for a moment and listen to a sound sample of the Martin Super D.
Yes, but I am surprised that that video is not on my website on that review. So maybe something happened to my my video. Maybe it's technical difficulties kept me from making a video. I don't remember.
You know what we should really do?
I'm waiting.
We should go back to Martin and play it again so we can videotape it again.
Yeah, can you get out this discontinued model so we make another review? Thanks. Okay, so coming up, we've been talking about the fancy 00042 that they did not bring into the standard series when they had an opportunity, when they were reimagining everything. Here is a nice, affordable 15 that they discontinued that they should not have or they should bring back, which is the D15S, the big body 12-fret dreadnought from the 15 series. We've got our friend Scooter has one of those. He's had it for many years, and boy, it gets better and better sounding, you know, as time goes on. Those mahogany tops, they just improve and sound sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And, of course, you get that nice, big, sonorous bass from the 12-fret yeah. dreads. Surprisingly wonderful finger-picking guitars, really nice balance. They're almost like supersized OMs in terms of the balance for finger-picking. So that's a favorite. And I'm going to jump right into the other favorite from the 15 series that went away, which is the J1215. Jumbo 12-string from the 15. Again, the mahogany top, satin finish, really wonderful sounding guitar. And again, you get to see these after they've been played for a long time, and they just, they're woody, they're warm. They have that unique 15 sound that helps curb some of that sort of high-end ping you get off of 12-strings. And I had fantasized about ordering one with a cutaway once upon a time before they discontinued it. Which reminds me, when you said that when we talked about Martin being able to customize things, you know how they now on the website, you go on to the D28 and you have the D28 and you say you want it with or without electronics. And you were talking about, well, what if you could also say with or without a short scale neck? Well, one thing yeah. they could certainly do is with or without a cutaway. I don't understand why they don't. Like you said, what if somebody wants a cutaway and wants to go to the standard series? Maybe they should put that on the websites now too, where you have a triple, you have an OM28, you can just say with a cutaway, just the same way you say with electronics. I wonder if that's something they would consider.
And still have it called OM28 without calling custom shop.
Yeah, I mean, they would have to put, without calling a custom shop, they would have to put the C, probably put the C on the stamp to say OM28C, but, and I'm sure they do that when you ask with the, I'm assuming when you order an HD28 with electronics, it comes as HD28E on the stamp. But that's interesting. I've never even asked them about that now that they do that. That'd be an interesting question.
Honestly, we're taping this in mid-March, and we didn't sign the 2024 contract, so we're not a dealer as of the time you're hearing this podcast. I don't know that it says E. Maybe on the paperwork it might, intra-dealer.
Well, see, that's a big change then. If you can order an HD28 with electronics and it just comes as HD28, because if you order it with electronics, you're getting that different end piece with the plastic battery pack and all that. So it's definitely different. So I would be surprised if they drop the E from the stamp when you do that, as opposed to listing them as separate models. But they could change the stamp. But that's a great question. Never even occurred to me to ask of that. So we will ask it for the future.
I certainly could be wrong. So listen to this with a grain of salt, if that's possible. I could be completely backwards about that. But I think you might have picked a funny title or a funny guitar as the example. You might. Like, they might make an HD28E in the catalog, and totally separately, you might be able to order a 0018 and tell the factory, put a pickup in it before you deliver it. That will still be labeled 0018 because 0018E is not in the catalog. So it's sort of a two-pronged question.
It's very fascinating. Yeah. I wonder what the answer is, and I will remember to ask Tim or Fred, one of those guys. But yes, if they had made a JC20, JC1215, I might very well have owned one.
Wow.
Here's another one that they did make that was not around for very long. It was based on the Pete Seeger signature model, and it's the Grand J28 LSE baritone. So this is an extra long scale guitar in the Grand J body size with a large sound hole and onboard electronics. And I absolutely loved the Pete Seeger baritone model that had the guitar pick shaped sound hole based on his old 12 string that was made by, I should know this guy's name, an English luthier that had made him that special super long scale 12 string. But boy, did they sound awesome. You tune it down to B, you know, play it. So when you play an E chord, you're actually playing a B or a C sharp. Magnificent guitar. Put it into dadgad down there, which is what Taya Gerken was talking about on our show with chatting with him about putting his baritone into Celtic tunings. I would have loved to have owned a Grand J28 LSE baritone.
Do you remember my story? I know I've lamented it to you at least once. I don't know if it was on the air or not. I was at the Martin factory this whatever year that it was still in production, or maybe it was in beta. And I was in the string room talking to our friend Tim and Bert Germick, I think, was there that same time. And I sat down and they said, check this out. And I was playing that. And I said, yeah, I don't know anything about baritones and I can't compare it, blah, blah, blah. We started talking. And he's like, you like Jackson Browne a lot, don't you? I said, oh my gosh, he's one of my favorites. Yeah, he was just here yesterday sitting right where you were playing that. He loved it. It's like, and I chose to come on Wednesday instead of Tuesday. Why? And, I kind of said that, next time anything like that happens, you call me right away. And they're like, oh yeah, as soon as we see somebody's tour bus roll up, I'll say, hold on, we have to call some goof in Coaldale. He wants to come and see if he can run into you. So stay where you're at. But I missed him by exactly 24 hours, the same exact guitar, same exact seat. That is all Jackson Browne and Mari Rich have in common.
I'm just picturing him sitting there playing it and sitting you in the room watching him like Sally Brown next to Linus while the heart's popping over your head.
Exactly. Get that guy out of here.
So that's the baritone that was in the standard series briefly. and I'm sorry they had to get rid of it. I mean, they have the M36 in the, you know, how many of those? Maybe they sell a lot of those. I don't know. But you think that having the baritone there, people would order them, you know, once in a while. And speaking of M's, and I said that Chris Martin always wants to have an M in the lineup, and they keep the M36 alive. And they back when they first came out with the M's, they came out with an M18. And I played a couple of the ones, the old ones from around 1980 or whenever they were out. And in fact, I played the one that Ron Wood played on Live Aid with Bob Dylan and Keith Richards, because my old guitar tech, who's now retired, Bob Jones, here in New York City, somebody called him up one day and from Philadelphia and said, though I think the show was actually in D.C., said, can we borrow some guitars for a TV show? And he loaned them 3 guitars, not knowing they were going to be played by Bob Dylan, Keith Richards, and Ron Wood.
Wow.
And he claims that, you know, supposedly, you know, apparently he was, you know, there, that Dylan actually did play it, but not, he didn't play it during the show, but played it before the show. But so he could say Bob Dylan played my guitar, which he was quite thrilled with. Well, I'm not talking about the M18. I'm talking about a model that was actually a signature model, and it's the M3M, George Martin. George Martin, the legendary producer of the Beatles and other artists, they made a guitar designed for studio recording, and it had a 3-piece mahogany back with a beautiful center wedge of quilted mahogany. But I think they should just bring back a mahogany M in the standard series, or not even bring back, because I thought the 3-piece back looked gorgeous. 3-piece back, which would be environmentally friendly to use smaller, all those small pieces of mahogany they don't know what to do with. And it had an Italian Alpine top. And Martin has rarely put, you know, non-domestic spruce tops on mahogany guitars. And that, it's a marvelous sounding guitar. And I would keep it with the 1/11/16 inch nut that it had, but I could understand why they would want to do the modern high performance neck on it. But again, an M, all solid wood mahogany M in the standard series. But I think they should keep the Italian spruce top, the European spruce top at least, because it worked really well with a guitar that size with mahogany back and sides.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Of course.
How do you feel about those people that say that guitar's got a 4-piece back?
Does it?
Think the M3M?
M3M.
If you look really, really closely, some of our friends, and Tony Phillips is coming to mind. I'll blame him for now. If you look, it's got that wedge.
Oh, it's got the M shape. Oh, okay. That's exactly the kind of thing Tony would say.
Piece of the back that's like that big. Google this after the show's over. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily go with the special back strip that's shaped like an M at the top by the
That's why I asked. I have to know where you stand on that.
Very good point. I'd forgotten all about that. But yeah, that looked very cool.
You were talking about, at the very front of this show, those people that are saying, why'd they get rid of that guitar? And you said, well, did you buy one? Well, no. I want to flip that, and this might just erase everybody from contention. What about the people that did buy it? Well, you have yours already. People that bought the XXXX. Like, I can't believe they don't make that anymore. Well, do you have one? I love it. Are you going to buy 2 of them? No. I just think Martin should sell that to other people. No matter how you look at this whole argument, you're basically asking people, I don't think anybody should own that. Or I think everybody should be allowed to own that because I like it. I'm not sure which people are more wrong.
I know about, you know, I was aware of the minefield this topic can bring up. That's why, first of all, I'm not doing it as, you know, this one's better than that one. I tried to focus on guitars that I thought they should bring back because I think they would sell. They may not sell in huge numbers, but like I said, there's definitely other guitars in the Martin line that don't sell in huge numbers, but they keep around for various reasons. And which brings me to this next one. It's actually 2. I'm going to lump them together because I was limiting it to 10 slots. So I'm actually having 11 guitars. this story has been told. A lot of our listeners probably know this, but the very first event that we called Martin Fest, which was really just a bunch of people from the unofficial Martin Guitar Forum taking the Martin tour and partying at a hotel overnight and having a day in the park with like an open mic. A bunch of people had lunch with Chris Martin in his conference room in those days and on the ground floor. And then he sat in his office and signed the inside of people's guitars for a very, very long time, which is really nice of him. And at the very end of it, as I was haunting his office, and he was trying to shut his door, I told him, you know what you should bring back is you should bring out a standard OM-18. And he looked at me and he said, well, you know, I had a Bourgeois Mahogany OM and a Collings, and I bought the first OM-18V that hit New York City, and I don't own those two other guitars anymore. And he kind of nodded like, And I said, I just think a standard series of low-profile neck would sell. Never happened. And this was still back when the 00018 was the worst-selling guitar they made with this non-scallop braces and the black binding and all that stuff. Well, finally, and I don't remember what year it is now, but finally in this century, they came out with a standard OM-18, the first guitar stamped OM-18 since 1934, and it vanished really quickly. And at the same time, they came out with the OM-18 CE, as well as the OM-28 CE. And also, to go back to Maury's point, really surprised when they just blanketly got rid of the cutaway CEs from the standard series. I assume that's because they were redoing them and they were going to come out with the latest Aura guitars, or, you know, Aura system or whatever. I thought it was going to be a short-term absence, and they just never did it. So, but the OM-18 mahogany long scale OM, what's not to love about that? But I'm a cutaway guy. I need cutaways. And I've more than once looked online and saw, you know, wistfully at used OM-18 CEs and may eventually get one someday. But I have a wonderful long scale 00016 from the mid 90s, which is the full size dovetail neck joint. It really is an OM-18, except it's got a 1/11. They didn't call it an OM because it had a 1/11/16 inch nut width, but a fantastic guitar with the modern, with their very first cutaway that's got 21 fret neck and 22 fret neck and the oval sound hole, all that. But anyway, excuse me. Coming up to the last one, the big one at the end of it all, something they have not ever had in the standard series. It's a guitar that came out in 1990. Back before the standard series, so it was a standard Martin, and that's the OM-45. And the OM-45, that OM-45 has white binding and the big hexagon fret markers of the D-45. It does not have the snowflake fingerboard pattern of a 1930s OM-45. The non-dreadnoughts in the 1930s have the snowflakes and the but they came out with the OM-45 with the block inlays in 1990. I don't remember when they retired them, but I think they realized they cost a lot, so they brought out the OM-42 and then got rid of the OM-45. They also came out with an OM-28 at the same time that had the white binding, black pickguard, dot fretboard, and low profile neck. Those also lasted for about the same number of years. And they came out with, in 94, I think they came out with the OM-21. And they had all four models briefly, but then they retired the OM-28 and the OM-45 and kept the OM-21 and the OM-42. And in those days, the 21 having a rosewood fretboard and bridge. But they never brought back the OM-45. And I wonder if people would buy them, if they had the standard series with the hexagons fretboard, if they would sell. So I'd be curious how people feel about that. But every time I see one used OM-45 in a guitar store or whatever and get to play it, they're awesome guitars. and I could see them doing a modern version of it.
Well, how many people out there own the D45 and would buy an OM45 if it meant giving up their D45? Maybe me. I don't know how to say that, but I don't know. The OM45, the thought of it, and as soon as you said hexagons, I thought, I would like that. I mean, let me know in the chat, would you not like an OM45 with hexagons, without hexagons? If it didn't have a neck, would you still like an OM45? Just thinking about my D45 in an OM shape, first of all, I can't really imagine a world where there isn't an OM28. I don't know how that didn't just, you know, become introduced and completely stay, but the whole topic of this show is it's not here and it should be. The OM45 with hexagons, what do you think if they made that, if they told you, heck, maybe they already did and you're just under a gag order. If they told you 2025 NAMM, it's coming, what could that price tag look like, just guessing?
These days, I think it would cost the exact same amount as a D. I don't think they would, because the majority of the price is in the craftsmanship, the labor involved in Style 45. And I'm a huge fan of the snowflakes. I've always loved the look of the OM45 Deluxe and the OM45 from the 30s and the 00045 from the 30s. But there's something very cool about those hexagons on those old OM45s from the 1990s. Look it up. Go get on YouTube, look up. I know there's videos of Elvis Costello playing his OM45. I'm pretty sure there's videos of Steve Howe playing his OM45. I can't remember who else owned one, but those are the ones that come to mind right now. Maybe Eric Clapton owned one. I don't remember. Yeah, the standard OM45, a model that was around in the 1990s, went away and has not been around except as a vintage series, Golden Era series, Marquee series, Modern Deluxe series, maybe lots of series. Authentic series, but not standard series, OM45.
Oh, it sounds like a crime when you say it that way.
Hear, hear, quite agree. So, curious to see what our listeners have to say, those that can comment in the chat or send an email to
support@mauriesmusic.com. Let us know what we got wrong. Let us know if you think some of the guitars we talked about today should stay discontinued. That would be an interesting comment if you think we're wrong, not only to omit something, but that something on our list should never come back. I'd love to get into that argument with you, especially if it's visible to everyone on the YouTube chat. Let's start a fight on the internet when you have time. And I think it would also be a crime to go through this whole episode and not play a rousing game of 20 questions. Spoon, speaking of fighting and disagreeing, what do you think about that?
I think that's fine. I think I'd be happy to guess 20 questions of a Martin model that you have in your mind that is not discontinued. And I get up to 3 guesses as to what that model might be, but they count toward those 20 guesses.
Except today, we're going to turn the tables, and it has to be discontinued. No, I'm just kidding.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah, I was going to say that'd be hard. Yeah, if you're limited to my list, I might be able to do it, but
20 questions. All right, Spoon, are you ready?
Yes.
I'm thinking of a Martin guitar that was discontinued, and it's on your list from earlier today. Oh, 20 questions on the clock, and go.
Is it a Super D?
No.
Uh-oh, okay. Is it, well, these are all made in Nazareth, so that gives me a free buy there. Is it a guitar with a spruce top?
No.
Is it a 12-string guitar?
Yes.
Is it a J1215?
Yes.
All right. Well, since you did it that fast, Let's turn the tables and you guess one from my list. Just to remind you, Super D, D18 short scale, GPC28E, 00042, D15S, J1215, Grand J28 LSE baritone, 3M3M Martin, George Martin, OM18 or OM18 CE, or the OM45.
How many questions on the clock?
20 questions on the clock now.
Does this guitar have 20% more cubic volume inside it?
No. Then what? But no.
Then a regular dreadnought.
No, it does not.
Has this guitar been played by both Mari and Jackson Browne in the same seat?
No, it has not.
That narrows it down. Does this guitar have a three-piece back that some people think is a four-piece back?
No, but it's a gorgeous back.
Does this guitar have 12 strings?
No, it does not. I like what you're doing, though. You're picking very specific questions to eliminate models.
I'm trying to make interesting radio, really. I don't know that those are good questions, but they sound different from every week, the same thing. Does this guitar have the letters GP in it?
No. That's five questions.
Does this guitar have the superior hexagon inlays on the fretboard?
No. Six questions.
Is this a 12-fret guitar?
Yes.
Is this the D15S?
Yes, it is. Eight questions. Yes. The graphic for that certificate, I think, is hilarious.
I had the volume turned all the way up for the guitar for the sound sample, but I shouldn't have it that damn loud for that applause. That is a rowdy crowd. So, sorry about your ears.
You're used to rowdy crowds. Which I'll just have to say, you know, the Highland Shatners, we had our annual St. Patrick's Day gig at Freddy's in Brooklyn. And it was at 5 o'clock, and we were packed. It was really, and packed to a lot of people that had never seen us before, because that they don't normally have bands on Sunday, but we were grandfathered in because we've been there. We've been playing at Freddy's on St. Patrick's Day for over 20 years, and not including the two COVID years. But they have an open mic beforehand, and they had a karaoke afterwards, so we ended up absolutely packed, and a wonderful corned beef sandwich that they only do on St. Patrick's Day. So that was great fun. Great fun.
Awesome. Is there any video footage or pictures we could look at later?
Apparently my video cameras died of old age, so I could not tape the gig. So there may be some phone video out there somewhere. I don't know. But it's interesting. I always wear the same thing every year. I wear my Irish national soccer team jersey, which is, of course, is Kelly Green. But the woman who was running the show put us in bathed us in total red light the entire time. So you would never know I was wearing green.
Oh.
It's pretty funny when you see pictures and stuff. We were completely bathed in red light. So not sure what that was all about. You would think she would have chosen green for St. Patrick's Day.
This has really been a lot of fun. I hope you like both the double 20 questions lists. And I sure hope you found some value and some entertainment in our top 10 list of guitars that Spoon is definitely sure Martin never should have gotten rid of and needs to bring back, parentheses, dang it, end parentheses. It's always a list that people can certainly look at. And if you found something about that list that you totally disagree with, kidding aside, let us know in the comments, or if you're watching this on the YouTube premiere, there's a good chance I'm there watching too, and we can get into a little bit. I'd love to know what you think about your own ideas, and maybe some people think that they shouldn't make the D28 anymore. This is your platform to tell us such news. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please consider giving us a review over on Apple Podcasts, We might even read your review on the air. Rye Guy Tax Guy writes, yeah! A truly original and informative podcast in a somewhat niche space. If you're a Martin guitar enthusiast, this podcast is a must.
Wow, that's great. Thank you very much.
We really appreciate you saying that. Thank you very much. And we hope everybody that listens to this program thinks exactly the same way. If that's true, tell Apple Podcasts today. From all of us at Martins & More, thanks for listening.
Hear you later.